Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Friday, March 24th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we will be reading on page 69, the third paragraph down, whatever our ideals turn out to be, ending with the right answer will come if we want it. We'll just be studying that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen W., the 12 Traditions, Davalyn E. The readers of the text are Elaine B., Veronica C., and Jordan L. The share ID for Thursday, March 23rd, that was yesterday, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,082. That's 20082. And for Friday, March 24th, the 7 a.m., that's this morning's meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,084. That's 20084. Our newcomer greeter is Reggie O. And our announcements person is, I'm waiting to see, got some messages here. Hang on. I think it'll be Robin P. Anyway, oh gosh. Anyway, we'll have an announcements person. All right, let's get going here. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Karen W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks so much, Mo, and I pass.
Hey. Thank you very much, Karen W. And I will now ask Davalyn E. to read the 12 traditions. Hey, good morning, Davalyn.
Good morning, Mo, and everyone on the line. My name is Davalyn E., and I am a compulsive overeater living joyfully and gratefully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Okay, got it. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
And thank you very much, Davalyn. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 69. The third paragraph down, it begins with whatever our ideal turns out to be, and it ends with the right answer will come if we want it. And I will now ask Elaine B. to get us started. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in so doing. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answers will come if we want it. And I'm so glad that this comes after the fear inventory, where we're really growing and seeking, asking God to direct our thinking about what, how God would have us show up. And we're beginning to really use that faith and trust muscle in God in such a vital, vital area. And, you know, we've done the inventory looking at, in the previous paragraph, what our behaviors were, but we need to really look at, you know, almost like the food. What are our red light behaviors? I can't do that anymore. I can't let that happen anymore. I can't go there anymore. What are yellow light? I'm not really sure about these, but my green light, these are the all good to go. So we kind of,
we've shaped that sound ideal for ourselves of what that's going to look like. How am I going to show up? But we realize that we've done damage to others, and we've realized we've done damage to ourselves. Sometimes it's an amends to self. You know, God, please help me stay away from these types of situations which set me up in a position to be harmed. And we have to recognize that we have harmed others as well. And it can be very healing to go to, or even to receive, in the cases that does happen, amends from somebody who has acted out in ways sexually or you know, encouraged us to act out in ways sexually that we may not have wanted to do. And we get to clean the slate. That's what I love, is that once we do that amends, once we go and face it, we are free. We're done, you know, and we can begin to trust and rely on God to help us know how to respond in these different types of situations again in the future, because that's our safe and sound ideal for our future sex life, that we're going to begin to live and work towards that goal. And, you know, it can be really difficult in some places. Sometimes, you know, it would be harmful. There's somebody that I really, really wanted to make amends to, but every time it's that I wanted relief. And the thing was that I needed to release it, because if I went back and opened that door, it was going to cause harm to somebody else and the family involved. And that would not have been a good thing. I needed to do a living amends to my husband, because there was a time when I got back into a very bad relapse, and there was somebody that out there that started looked good to me. And so I started going to 12-step meetings every day, and I went to ones that he was at, even though I wasn't an alcoholic, you know, because he was there. And that was bad. That was wrong. So I really had to make a living amends for that. And, you know, the thing is we get to invite God, and this is a partnership, and we've learned to get our intuitive thoughts and directions from God and the help of speaking to other people who've been through these steps. So partnering with sponsors and our creator, we can get through this thing and show up in a different way that's more healthy for us and those we love. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Elaine, for getting us started. I'll remind everybody where we're at today. We're on page 69, the third paragraph down, whatever our ideal turns out to be. And it ends with, the right answer will come if we want it. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you share on Wednesday or Thursday, please pass today and come back on Monday. Thank you. So I'll take names of those who'd like to share on this paragraph.
Veronica B.
Mary Lee R. Jane Organ.
Mary Lee R.
Uh-huh.
From Oregon, gotcha. We got Veronica, I think it was B, and Mary Lee R. Anyone else?
Io.
We got Io. Io A. And who was the other person?
Aaliyah A.
Oh, Aaliyah. Okay. Aaliyah A. Okay. Nobody else wants to share. We'll go with those four, and then we'll open the lines up again. So we have Veronica B, Mary Lee R, Io A, and Aaliyah A. Gotta watch my self without slipping over all of that. Okay, Veronica B, please begin.
Hi.
Everybody else, mute your phone.
Hey, good morning. I'm Veronica B, recovered compulsive overeater in California. And thank you for your service. I had to chime in on this talk this week of relationships. And for me as a compulsive eater, this is where I have the most hard time in trusting God. Like I trust God in all other areas in my life except for my personal relations with my partner. I always take my will back. And this paragraph, you know, it tells me, you know, first I put my ideals down of what I would like to bring to a table in a relationship. But I don't even do that. I just wing it. My ideals are like, if the guy is handsome, if I have enough chemistry with him, then I'll get into a relationship, and then I'll just figure out the value, our values later. You know, that's like how I approach relationships, and I'm embarrassed to say, but I'm just gonna keep it real. And I'm doing this work, and I continuously do this work so that I am, because I am willing to grow towards it. You know, I am willing to look at my wrongs. I'm willing to look at my mistakes. I'm willing to look at when I'm being selfish and dishonest or frightened, because I am so guilty of making my partner my higher power. And that's embarrassing to admit too. You know, but that's the truth for me. And I'm willing to make amends when I do harm. I have to eat a lot of humble pie. I have to take the high road tons of times. And I'm in a relationship where I have to be the first one to, you know, set things right. Because my partner is not in a 12-step program. And I love what it says. In meditation, we ask God to what to do. Like, show me, God. Just give me the answers, God. And that's what I do. You know, I ask God, God, is this your will for, you know, my partner and I? And I put myself in a difficult situation. I chose to be in a long distance relationship, and this brings me a lot of worry, a lot of suffering, and every day, like, are we going to stay together? Or are we going to break up? I mean, like, this is my head all day long. So I get really busy, like, just getting in the middle of the program, reaching out to others. And really asking God constantly to, you know, help guide me, God. And because this is definitely where I need so much help. I don't let God in. I don't let him in. And it's not, let me tell you, there's not a whole lot of serenity in that. But I just had to be honest. And thank you so much for letting me share. And everyone have a great weekend.
Bye. Okay, thank you, Veronica B. from California. Mary Lee R., you're up, followed by IOA.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Mary Lee R., recovered just for today in Eugene, Oregon. And it's we. I'm really grateful for the ideas and knowing that food used to be my higher power, and my go-to higher power is my DD, my divine director. That's my most go-to. And the fact that I suit up, show up when I say I would, prepared, and I leave the results to God and to my divine director. And I'm just so grateful to be abstinent and working the program and reaching out and doing the work. My heart is just so filled. And I had the sense that my divine director had left. And what has really happened is that she's just deeper into my heart. So I'm really grateful to be honest and to be here, and thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Mary Lee R. from Oregon. Up next is IOA, followed by Alea A. Good morning, IO.
Good morning. This is IOA, compulsive overeater from Southern California. I'm really grateful to be here today. I've had some rough days with just some deaths in my family and not feeling well. And I'm just grateful to hear the reading. I've been listening all week, and I'm grateful to hear people in recovery share and just have the opportunity to listen. I'm only on step 3. But listening to people share about their sex inventory fear and about their relationship with the Most High has really helped me not have fear, just in terms of where I am. And it's really good to hear that the way the Most High has taken the obsession to eat compulsively away, that He can also take very difficult situations in my life and change them as well. That I can surrender my behavior, my words, my thoughts, and pause and not have to react. Sex is something that I don't really think about in terms of recovery. And this week I've been thinking, wow, that's a lot to look into at 51 years old. But I'm just grateful, and I'm just happy to be here and wanted to speak up, and especially in case there's any newcomers, to just be grateful to be out of relapse and be taking direction. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, IOA. And before I take Aaliyah A., I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 69, whatever our ideal turns out to be. And it ends with the right answer will come if we want it. And after Aaliyah, I will take more names. Good morning, Aaliyah.
Thank you, Maureen, for your service. I'm so grateful to be here. This is Aaliyah A. from Montreal, Canada. So what comes up to me with this paragraph is, you know, meditation changed my life. You know, just the fact, the action of pausing and asking God for guidance, having faith and trust, you know, and wanting the right answer. And it says here, the right answer will come. And it always does. And now what I like in my relationship with my husband is that I'm now so much more self-aware of my thoughts and my actions, and I take responsibility of my actions, you know, instead of blaming and shaming. So when I say something that hurt him, I apologize. And I can see, you know, because of these 12 steps and all the promises that came, that our relationship is so much better. And I continue to do that every day. For example, now there is a resentment that is coming up, but I'm patient, right? And I wait for God's timing, because I want the answer now, but things don't follow my script. But I have to learn to be patient and sit into the discomfort of my feelings and know that I'll be okay, and wait for guidance. So it helped me a lot, this program, to put away my ego in relationships and to be humble and to really try to be of service to my husband and others, instead of always wanting my needs to be met. So now I don't have to do this alone. I've seen so much freedom and promises, you know, with my relationship with my husband, and I trust that God will reveal more. And it's about taking action, but also to know, you know, when to surrender. So it's kind of the serenity prayer and asking God, you know, to have the courage to have difficult conversations and to be honest with others and to really follow, you know, the guidance from my higher power. So thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Aaliyah A. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Joan F.
Debbie B.
Larry,
from
Larry.
Indiana.
So I heard Joan F., I think, and then who was after Joan?
Larry G. from California.
Okay, I got you, Larry. Okay.
Debbie M. from California.
Who was that from California?
Ann M. from California.
Ann M., okay.
This is on sheer.
Okay, please mute if you've announced your name already.
Debbie
so
P. from Indiana.
Joan F. Who is that from Indiana?
Debbie P.
Debbie P.?
Yes.
Thank you. And I got Joan F., Larry G., Ann M., Debbie P. Was there anyone else? Okay. All right. Make sure to mute your phone. Oh. If you're not, who is that?
Darcy M. from Nebraska.
Darcy M., is that what you said?
Yes, from Nebraska.
Is it Darcy with an I or a Y?
Y.
Okay, thank you, Darcy M. All right, we'll stop with that. I've Joan F., Larry G., Ann M., Debbie P., and Darcy M. All right, just Joan F., unmute, please, and please share. Joan, are you there? Press star one to unmute.
Yes, thank you so much. Joan S. from Massachusetts. Just great to be listening and identifying and reflecting a lot. And I am 75 years old, which I can barely believe. And I've been an Overeaters Anonymous for a while. And I'm not in a relationship at this time, but I think a lot of my time, even in recovery, was always being attracted to men who are not available to me. And what I'm grateful for today is the mistakes I could have made that I didn't because of my that I was in recovery. But I notice even now I'm in the other program and there's a man in my meeting who's very unhappily married and he's attracted to me and I think I'm too old for this, but not at all. And I'm just aware of it and I'm just really wanting to act with integrity and fellowship. I value my fellows so much and so it's an interesting kind of dilemma of how to even show affection to someone who seems to be so needy. And so that's kind of where I'm at now. And it's good for me to check in about this. And again, the gratitude for the mistakes I didn't make because I was in recovery is tremendous. So thanks so much.
And thank you, Joan F. from Massachusetts, Larry G., followed by Ann M. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. This is Larry G. from California. All we need is have Curly on this call, and we'll complete the three amigos, Mo, Larry, and Curly.
There we go.
And I feel that way some days in terms of my emotional sobriety. I feel like I'm one of the three stooges. You know, I am married to the most amazing woman, and I love her more than life itself. But it wasn't always that way. I did not have the emotional maturity to be in this relationship. And I went to an outside program in 2007, and I started work on emotional maturity. And I could see for the first time, how could anyone have a relationship with somebody that, you know, has those very traits we talked about prior to step three. One day I'm charming, next day I'm mean and egotistical. We rise to the level of our emotional security. You know, I've heard from years, and I was part of this, you know, where I'm with somebody that's not available. I'm with somebody who is cold or somebody who is not connected. Well, you know, I chose that person, and that person chose me, and that was the best we could do. Now I have this step that is amazing, amazing step. I get to look at Larry. Not anyone else but Larry. Where am I selfish? Where am I dishonest? Where am I fearful? It is the most beautiful step. It has set me free. And if you're new on this call, you owe yourself to be on this adventure. So what does it look like today? What it looks like today is I 100% accept my wife, and she 100% accepts me. We don't try to change each other. We don't put demands and expectations on each other, and it just works so beautifully. And I've done my work, and she's done her work. She's in 12-step. I'm in 12-step. I've done outside work with therapists. I've gone to an outside program. It has not been easy. I was with a woman that had a big heart, and I loved her. She loved me, but we didn't have the emotional maturity. I didn't have the emotional sobriety to navigate that relationship. And that relationship took me to my knees when I ended it. And thank God that I went to this program I'm talking about, got outside help. Because for the first time, I looked at the principle in the back of one of the stories. It said, anytime I'm disturbed, and I'm looking outside myself, the disturbance is within me. So I'm just one of the three stooges trying to have a relationship the best I can. I have some emotional sobriety today, and I love being in a state of where I am seeing where I'm not accepting. I'm seeing where I'm putting demands. You know, we talk about the sick man prayer. I don't like the sick man prayer. I'm not a doctor or a psychologist. I can't diagnose someone else. But that I can pray the sick man prayer for me, because the truth is, I am emotionally sobriety. When I'm not, when I don't have good emotional sobriety, I'm the sick man. And I have to look at how I'm putting demands and expectations. So that's about me today. And I welcome all the new people. Hope you have a sponsor. Hope that you, again, work in the step and have the freedom and liberation that we all share, all recovered people have shared in this call. I pass it back to you, Mo.
Yeah, thank you very much, Larry. We're waiting for Curly. Next up is Ann M., followed by Debbie P. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Mo. This is Ann M. in Southern California. I wish my nickname was Curly. I am grateful, so grateful to be here today, to know people on the line. I welcome everybody who's new. I was in the food yesterday. I have been in the food a lot, and I'm not in the food today. And the way my morning has started, I've been praying to my higher power to start my morning like I've started it this morning. For, I don't even know how long. It's not a year, but almost, or it's probably 6 months. It, the way I, what I need to do for my food plan is a lot of work and prep. And I've been really tired. I came off a lot of medications, and maybe that's contributed to fatigue. And in my, this reading that we did today, I'm so grateful in my recovery. I've done, you know, a sexual inventory as described, and I am today in, and I, my ideal relationship with a man who is my husband and I love, and we built this home together. And it's all at risk because of my eating disorder. And it's such a gift that I am up today and starting my day doing what I need to do. I've just been feeling a lot of self-pity for myself with what I have to do for, with this food. And that's not where I feel this morning. And that is just, I think this morning is just a gift from my higher power. I'm grateful to be here with all of you. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Ann M. from California. Debbie P. up next, followed by Darcy M. And after Darcy M., we can take some more names.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows out there. This is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in from Indiana. This whole chapter, our whole week, has really opened up some... well, just, I guess, some thoughts for me. I don't know what my ideals are related to sex, but I do know that, you know, at the risk of sharing too much, this is my story. You know, I was looking for something at a young age, and sex seemed to be the answer at that time, and becoming promiscuous because that seemed to give me relief. To now, many, many years later, and abstinent, you know, that sex is something I could care less about. You know, bless my husband for living with me and accepting me just as I am. He has done that with me in the food and out. And, you know, he's just wonderful that way and a good support system for me. But what I'm trying to, what I'm looking at today is, okay, what else do I need to do? Is there anything else that I need, you know, to write about? Is there anybody else that I need to make amends to? Because, you know, I've worked these steps in a couple different programs, and I've made amends along the way. And I feel like, you know, this is hard work. And I feel like I have had a pattern of, you know, a lot of hard work, and then I get to relax for a while. And then a lot of hard work, and I get to relax for a while. But the whole point I heard earlier about making my husband my higher power my goal today is to be true to myself about what I want, what I need, and to not make anybody else my higher power and to rely on my higher power. It's very uncomfortable for me to invite my higher power in related to sex, but related to my behaviors toward other people is a lot easier. And I get better messages that way. I do get messages. And I know if I were to ask, I would get a message also related to sex. I'm still a work in progress. I just keep trying every day. And, you know, whatever is bothering me, that's where I work each day. And, you know, the 10th step, or, you know, sometimes I have to go back to a 4th step and dig deeper. And this might be one of those topics that I need to go back and dig deeper on. I'll just wait and see. But anyway, thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Debbie P. And before I take Darcy M., I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 69, the third paragraph down. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, and it ends with the right answer, will come if we want it. And after Darcy M., I will take a few more people. Good morning, Darcy.
Good morning. This is Darcy M. from Nebraska. This paragraph, probably for someone else, is probably different from me, because I've really never been in had many sexual relations because of my weight, because I was always scared to try to have a relationship. In fact, I isolated because of that. So when I've had them, they've generally not been good. And but now I'm getting older, and now I'm debating if I want to try and have a relationship or get acquainted and have one or not. And there's a part of me that does, and there's a part that doesn't. So I know I need just to ask my higher power, but there's also the very large part of me that is very fearful. It goes back to just being scared of being hurt. And so I guess that's what I just wanted. It just hit me that I needed to say that today. I guess that's part I just want to say, is that I'm just going to say that and pass on that, but not sometimes the relationships is just, you're afraid to get into them, and you go years without ever having the chance because you're just scared to get into one, so you avoid them. So I'm just going to pass on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Darcy M. from Nebraska. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on either Wednesday or Thursday, we ask that you wait until Monday. So who would like to share? I have room for possibly three more.
Ilanit from South Africa.
Yeah, gotcha. I have Ilanit. Elaine G. Anyone else?
Davelin E.
Okay, we'll see if we can get you in there. Davelin E. Okay, I have Elanette, Elaine G, and Davelin. All right. Elanette, you're up first.
Thank you.
Hi, we're on the first. Yes. This is Elaine. Can you hear me?
Yes, Elaine.
Okay. We're on the fourth step here, yeah. Anyway, this is a step kind of avoiding. But anyway.
Page 69, the third paragraph.
Right, about sex, yeah. Anyway, about...
Elaine, somebody is ahead of you.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Can you wait? Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, Elanette. You're next.
All right.
You're up.
Okay, no problem.
That's fine. Thank you, Mo, for leading this meeting so beautifully. I am Ilanit, a compulsive eater in South Africa, and I am reworking the steps after a really bad relapse. And, you know, my sex ideals are very much grounded in what works for me and what brings me the most pleasure. And, you know, that, unfortunately, I apply that rule to what's happening in my marriage as well. You know, it's like, what am I getting out of this? You know, am I happy? And I don't spend enough of that time thinking, well, is my husband happy? You know, and what is God's purpose for me in this relationship? And right now I'm only on step one again. And, you know, right now it's just about do no harm, as another fellow told me. Whether I'm in the right, whether I'm not in the right, I know that's what's going to get me through, especially the first like 5-6 steps, is just getting out of my own head and being of service. And God has given me the ideal situation by having me married, and I have children. So, you know, I've got service positions in place. And, you know, I need to use it as an use this time, rather, as I struggle with my own, you know, with my disease, to see where I can be there for my husband and my children, but in this particular case, my husband, and not worry about, are we having enough sex? Aren't we having enough sex? Why? You know, all of that. Because then I'm in the outcomes business, and that's not my business. My business right now and always really is in the service business. And I know from having done it in the past that when I'm focusing on the service, the outcomes are 10 times better than 1,000 times better than I ever imagined. So I'm just really grateful for reading this paragraph and just that reminder. Yeah, to get out of God's way and just see where I can be helpful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Ilanit from South Africa. Next up is Elaine G, followed by Davelin. Davelin E. Elaine, you're up.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine. I'm on late, but I'm on. Anyway, about the fourth step, this is like a very important part of the fourth step. This is a step that I'm on. Anyway, about the sex part, the way I feel is that you shouldn't have any motives when it comes to having to do with sex. I mean, as they say, in the big book, it's a lower, I forget how they put it, desire, whatever. But in the past, I have to admit this, in the past I had motives. No. Did it turn out well? No. Didn't turn out well. No. And some of them were like, if I have sex, maybe this person will do what I want. You know, that's a motive. No, and like I said, it never turned out well. And I also feel that going into this fourth step, that when I get to the sex part, that my mind, when I do the sex act, whatever, that should be clear. No, I should not do this with a motive. No, also. I've been, like, procrastinating doing this fourth step, and my therapist wants me to get my sponsor wants me to get a therapist, right? I mean, I had a real problem with this, you know, because of my past, my sexual abuse. Anyway, that's it for me. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Elaine G. And Davelin E., you're up next.
Good morning, Mo, again. This is Davelin E. from Manitoba, Canada, gratefully recovering, living in recovery here. I just wanted to speak for a minute about how much I've really come to value this part of the step four. Every time I do a step four and I come to the sex inventory, I realize it takes me to a really important place for me, that everything I do, as a previous caller shared about motive, is about me, myself, and I. What can I gain? What is good for me here? And so as I started doing four steps and recognizing, how did I hurt people? How am I being so selfish and self-centered? How am I never thinking of others? Every time I come to the sex inventory, I now generalize it to every relationship in my life, not just with my intimate partner, but with my children, my father, my sisters, my people who look after me, my housekeepers, my friends, and it works in all those relationships, because who am I in this for? Am I here to share something, to share God's love with somebody else? Or am I here just for me? So that's what I wanted to say about this part of step four inventory. And thank you so much for listening and for your service, Mo. I pass.
Thank you, Davelin. Well, we have time for a quick share, about a two-minute share, if anybody would like to take that. We're on page 69, the third paragraph down.
Anybody? Hi, Mo. Linda W.
Oh, good morning, Linda. Yeah, you take it. Thank you.
Can I share?
Yes, please do.
Hello? Yeah, okay. Well, you all give me the courage to stay with the program, stay on no matter what, no matter what. And I feel so blessed to be with all of you. I started my sex life pretty young, like 13. I didn't know what I was doing, but I did it. And I thought it was the same thing of that to like me. To find out it's not about that, because the young man that had sex with decided he wanted someone else. So, you know, it wasn't about, it was an eye-opener, but I was always feared the sex. I feared getting pregnant when I shouldn't get pregnant. But anyhow, to make a long story short, I've come a long way, and I didn't think I had any sex problems. But as I'm listening to everybody, I can see that I guess I did. I don't know if everyone does, but I think there's something in everyone's past. And I just want to thank you all for being there. And the last part of this was, yeah, just have patience and the promises will come. And all I have to do is ask God, please, for this miracle, and have patience that I can all are a light for me, and it helps me understand things. And the biggest thing is I'm trying to understand myself, and I know God's there. Anyhow, thank you very much for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you very much, Linda W. Okay, thank you very much, everyone, for all your shares. Let me get my page open here. Okay, and we will now close this meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Veronica C. to read a vision for you.
Good morning,
everybody else. Everybody else, please mute your phone just for Veronica C.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come, if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you first of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.